Three, two, one, and we're live, direct from Australia here in New South Wales and Queensland. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Max Egan, who's joining us on the screen. We've got a lot of ground to cover with Max. Max is pretty much the gold standard in independent research. I've been following Max, for so many years now. It's not funny, and I actually remember one of the most important videos I ever saw was Max releasing a video while he was in South America. There was a lot of stuff going on at that time, and he was pretty much facing the music and just explaining the situation. And I thought to myself, wow, this guy is really leading the way on what independent media is really about. And ever since then, I've really been following Max very closely. Have even reached out to him a couple of times when I've felt, you know, the weight of truth on my shoulders. And, you know, he sent me a couple of messages that really, really helped me out. So what I'd like to do, folks, is I'd like to welcome Max onto the screen right now so we can get this live stream started. Max, welcome and thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure, brother. Thank you for such a wonderful intro. It's nice to know that I've been able to help a little bit. Pleasure to come and talk to you, brother.
Yeah, I mean, that I was by myself here one night, and I really started to feel the pinch. I suppose I started to really see what's going on and thinking, whoa, this is heavy. This is really full on. And I reached out to you and you responded to me with a sentence that basically said, look, don't invest too heavily in an outcome. Just stay open. And I immediately knew what you meant. And that has really helped me a lot, Max.
Well, you've got to do it in this movement. I mean, really, if you've got a stake in the outcome, you won't last very long. In this whole procedure. So yeah, I mean, it's a good philosophy to have. So, and really that's what life's about anyway. So yeah, I'm just glad to have been able to help.
I mean, we've seen over and over again that you do not follow the herd, whether it's the truth community itself or just the general consensus. You always move in what you discover for yourself. We saw that with Christchurch, where your reporting and Vinny's was pretty much like the absolute gold standard for us to really see what was going on there.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you saying that. I've got a lot of flack over Christchurch. That's something I've found in the so-called truth movement, is there's often a accepted consensus. And something that isn't really tolerated is free thinking. I mean, in any type of movement, we see free thinking sort of outlawed. And it's sort of uncomfortable to find it also in the so-called truth movement where, you know, you can't put an opinion out there without it being, you know, attacked and vilified. I mean, that's kind of what happened when I put my report out there. Because I was kind of looking at it, I got kind of excited when I heard all the reports about CGI and hoax and all this sort of stuff. I thought, wow, we got them on video. This is great. And so I looked at it and I looked at the video and I pulled it apart frame by frame. And, you know, if I'd wanted to go in that direction, I could have, but I would have had to have ignored other stuff that I'm seeing in the video. And I just thought, well, you know, I can't in all honesty do that. And so what my question was, I mean, everyone's saying, oh, Max is claiming it's real. No, actually, what I was doing was asking why the people who were making the claims of CGI were making those claims, because the claims were not supported by the video. And so that started me questioning, you know, why was this misdirection happening? Why did people want us to be looking at shell casings and analyzing, you know, whether there was enough blood and whether there was this and whether there was that? What else is in the video they don't want us to look at? And that's when I saw the people in red. And the people in red, I mean, you could put some of this down to coincidence. I mean, the lady on the street appears to be a lady that was walking past wearing a red jacket. That could be a coincidence. There's a guy, when he gets to the mosque and he turns in the driveway, there's a guy wearing an all-red tracksuit, very unusual outfit. But okay, there's a photo that exists of the mosque and it shows people praying in the mosque. And in that photo, there's a guy standing there wearing an old red tracksuit. So this could be simply a person who attends the mosque who happens to wear that sort of a tracksuit. So I can put that down as possibly being a coincidence number two. But then near the end of the video, when he goes out to shoot the woman on the street, there's a guy in red standing against the wall. And I can't put that down to a coincidence. This brings the other two people in red into question as well. But there's a man there in red, so, and that's important information. And plus the car that was there. There was a car that left halfway through. And I put out a video talking about that car and exposing the license plate of that car. That video got deleted by YouTube straight away. I got a strike put against my channel. There's a lot of information that was revealed in that video they don't want us to see. The Christchurch video actually has potential to bring down the New Zealand government because it shows that they're lying. It wasn't a single shooter. Whatever the claim is, it's not what the government is saying. And it also shows that the independent media, I mean, the mainstream media is lying because it wasn't what they told us. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that I can look at, that anybody can look at on that video and see that the official story is wrong. So the Christchurch video, that's why it was banned, because it has the potential to bring down the whole global machine. We can see how they do it. We can see how they stage these shootings. We can see that the whole things are set up, and we can see that they're lying. We can see the media is lying through their teeth. And that's why they banned the video, and that's what was so important about it. And that is, I would suggest, why the misdirection and the talk of CGI and all this sort of stuff was launched so quickly, literally within hours of the shooting happening. And I thought it was important to point that out. And when I did, I simply pointed that out. I got so many attacks. I got trolled like incredible. I got accused of being CIA. I got accused of supporting the government narrative because I'm claiming people died. All sorts of stuff like this. It was all misdirected, misconstrued. I had a debate with one of the people who'd put out the claims of CGI, and all that person did was misdirect every question, wouldn't answer any question I asked. And it was very revealing. The whole thing was very revealing. So it did show me just how influenced the independent media is, and how many people are simply willing to follow whatever line that they're given for fear of stepping outside the box and thinking for themselves, for fear of the ridicule that they'll get, you know. And I don't really care about the ridicule. You can say whatever you want. I mean, I'm going to continue to think freely. I'm going to continue to put my ideas out there. But it would be nice to be able to put these ideas out there and have them opened up for discussion with people, rather than people going in with confirmation bias, looking at all this stuff, you know, and going in there with a preformed opinion of what's going on. And I think all they really had to do was stage a couple of hoaxes, you know, like, you know, Sandy Hook and a few things, so that now everybody thinks every shooting is a hoax. And, you know, they just followed the carrot where it's led them. And it's all been designed to bring about what we're seeing now, which is rampant internet censorship, which has been brought in across the board. I warned of this. I mean, I warned of this happening in 2015, where it was all going to lead. And the Christchurch shooting, when it happened, I said, if you can think of 9/11 as being the first move of the end game, the Christchurch shooting is the beginning of the final move of the end game. And it's going to be used to vilify the independent media, shut us all down, and bring about blanket internet censorship and all this surveillance. All this stuff is going to come out on the back of Christchurch. And we've seen it. It's all happened exactly as I said it was going to happen. And it's getting pretty full on around here. I mean, what we've seen, you know, since then, like even with the Assange arrest and the raiding of the ABC offices here, the smart city that's coming online in Darwin, smart city also coming online in Perth that nobody's hearing about, that you mentioned to me before, and nobody even knows about that. So, you know, it's all riding off the back of Christchurch, and they're doing it really quickly, I think, because they know that video can bring them down if people actually get some focus on it. If the independent media was actually get some real focus on that video, it could bring the whole system down. But unfortunately, everything's been convoluted, and all information's been mixed together. Too many people have embraced too many, you know, wild conspiracy theories, and they've cross-pollinated all the information. So now it's just this big, huge mishmash. And the independent media is kind of looking a little bit like a circus to the mainstream. So it's all been planned, and it's been very clever the way they've done it. But the net is certainly closing in at the moment, and it's imperative that people pay attention. That's why we've been taking all this action against 5G and stuff. I mean, it's good to have got Ray Broomhall on board, the barrister who's taking this 5G action against all this sort of stuff. But you've got to wonder how successful it's going to be with all of this smart technology rolling out on top of it anyway. They want to bring in their surveillance state anyway. And even speaking out against 5G doesn't seem to be stopping that very much. People just don't seem to be noticing it. And I think it's imperative that we get some focus. I really do.
Max, you're one of the only people who released the information that you did on Christchurch, which all checked out 100% for my liking. It's very difficult to take a counter position to what you were putting forward. I mean, I saw with my own eyes that the guy had the nozzle of the firearm pointed at the silver car and then lowered it straight away. Things like that. And that's not the only thing, but I mean, you know, the guy in the red with the hood, out in the car park outside, just impossible for him to have been there under that circumstance with the guy walking around shooting everyone, you know.
I think you're spot on. The thing is as well, when he ran out of the building and he put a couple of shots into the, there was two women escaping from the corner of the yard. He got one of them and the other one ran off, and that's whose shoes would have been left behind, because there was a pair of shoes there left, and they were near the head of the woman who was lying on the ground. And you can see this other woman running up the middle of the road. She's just left, taking her slippers off, and she's just bolted. And that would have been who the woman on the road was calling, help me to, help me, help me, would have been to the woman she was with, who just in fear took off. But when that happened, you can't see, there's nobody there. There's nobody there in the yard. And it takes 6 seconds for him to run out to the street and then put a couple more shots in that woman in the driveway. And in that 6 seconds, someone has run out and has stood halfway along the wall. Now that's a watcher. That's a handler. That's someone who's making sure that this guy was doing the job the way he was programmed to do or whatever. I mean, but it definitely shows there were helpers there. That's the thing. And there's other stuff about the video, like the claim of no shell damage to the windscreen. You know, you look up what these windscreens are made of. It's 7.6 mil laminated safety glass. That's what the windscreens in those cars are made of. And the shotgun shells, I mean, it's on like a 60-degree angle. People are expecting the window to smash out, but it doesn't. But what you can see is that there's damage to the windscreen. There's cracks across the windscreen, and there's a couple of holes near the rearview mirror. And you've got to understand as well, this guy's got a helmet on. He's got a camera on the top of his helmet, which is it's sort of above the rearview mirror. So it's looking down at a weird angle on the windscreen. You're not getting a true perspective of where the windscreen should be. I mean, you think you're looking straight ahead, and the windscreen's right there, but it's on an angle, and the camera's up here. So, you know, where the shots would have been. But the thing is, that there's no damage to the windscreen before he fires the shots, and then there's visible damage to the windscreen after he fires the shots. So if the bullet holes aren't where you think they should be, I would suggest it's because of the angle of the camera and the angle of the windscreen. But the fact is that there's damage there. I mean, you can see it. When he's driving along, there's damage. You can see that. You can see also on the dashboard, you can see sunlight shining through three holes onto the dashboard. There's a sunlight patch, and it's moving. People are saying, oh, this is just gas from the toy guns he used. Well, if it's gas on the dash from the toy guns he used, why is it moving with the light? And why does it go in and out of view when the car goes in and out of shadow? You know, it's because it's bullet holes through the windscreen and it's sun shining through the bullet holes. I mean, everything that the claims that are made of hoax and fakery, the thing is, this is why it's more believable to think that the video and the shooting is real, because all the claims that are made claiming hoax can be proven to be false. The claim of no windshield damage, this is a false claim. The claim of CGI shell casings, this is a false claim. The claim that he was shooting no one down the alley and no one out on the street, this is a false claim. So all of the claims that are made to support the claim of hoax can be proven to be false. So if it is a hoax, where's the proof of that? You know, because the prima facie evidence says it was a real shooting. And really, it's not even worth arguing over these points, because what it's really about is what the shooting was for and what the legislation is for and what it's going to be used for and why the video was banned. That's the important parts. And when you look at what's going on in your peripheral vision, you can see the helpers, you can see that line, you can see why they banned it. I mean, you got to wonder whether they even meant to stream this. I mean, you know, it's so weird. I mean, the way Facebook went down and all sorts of stuff, they did everything to draw our attention to it before it happened, which suggests that they planned it to happen. But I don't think they planned it to happen this way. I don't think they expected to get that much stuff on the video. You know, it really looks like an MKUltra operation. It looks like a patsy's been set up to do this, programmed to do this. I mean, but even that is debatable. You know, the key points, I don't know, there were helpers there, and there's a car there. We got the registration number of that car as well. It's a silver Toyota Will VS, registration FQH875. And that car was there present during the shooting. It was there for the whole time. He came out, pointed a gun, and it didn't shoot, went and shot someone out on the street. And while he was shooting people on the street, that car drove away. They were in full view of each other. They were obviously working together. So whoever was driving that car can answer a lot of questions for us. And this is the stuff that needs to be focused on. And, yeah, I think it's an extremely important issue. And if we could get some focus on it, it would make a difference. But I was really surprised at the amount of attacks that I got, the amount of people that simply weren't open to it, and the amount of people that were making the claims of CGI and hoax and all this stuff who said that they had thoroughly investigated the video. And yet I think I'm the only one who actually pulled it apart frame by frame. I mean, if you get a thoroughly investigated video, you thoroughly investigate it. And that's what I did. You know, there's 30,476 frames in that video, and I looked at every single one of them, you know, frame by frame, went through the whole lot. And by doing that, you can dispel every single claim of CGI and fakery that's been made. So, you know, it's an important issue. And I think that if people are going to claim that they've thoroughly researched something, perhaps they should thoroughly research it before they say that they have, you know.
And your experience within the film industry helps you to come to these conclusions, doesn't it, in your research, for those who aren't aware?
Well, I used to do that years ago. I mean, this is 23 years ago. I was working in the local film studios here just as a grummet, just as a set constructor, carpenter, you know, trades assistant, and, you know, building film sets and working in special effects and stuff like that. And so I know how special effects work. I mean, sure, it's different now. There's green screen and all sorts of stuff now that wasn't there when I was there, but you can't find any green screen. In fact, if this was CGI in this video, if there were CGI shell casings and all that sort of stuff, you wouldn't have them disappearing in midair. You'd follow the natural physics through, because it'd be a lot harder to have them disappear in midair and then appear on the ground just to insert them there later. I mean, it makes no sense. All the claims that are actually being made of CGI and hoax actually prove exactly the opposite. Because if it was CGI and hoax, it would be done a lot different to what we're seeing. You know, what we're seeing is bad bandwidth and video compression. So, yeah, I think it's important. I think it's absolutely important. Yeah, I did. I worked a lot in film sets. You know, just like I said, as a carpenter, as a grommet, trades assistant. But I did do a fair bit of special effects in films such as Pitch Black and Babe and films like this. So, yeah, you kind of know what it's going on. If you were going to do video special effects, you wouldn't do them in this way. And, you know, if you were going to do the special effects of him shooting through the windscreen, you'd put the holes right where people could see them and all this sort of stuff. The fact that the holes are where they are and all the damage is where it is shows you that this wasn't someone setting it up, because if they'd set it up, it would have looked a lot different. It would have looked a lot more like Hollywood, you know, and this doesn't look like Hollywood. So, you know, yeah, I mean, you can just tell. I mean, all you got to do is look at the video frame by frame, go through it, and you can see the blood. You can see people's brains are being blown out. You can see that there is damage to people. You can disprove all the claims that they've made. So, yeah, I think it's important. It would have been, like I said, it would have been nice if it had been opened up for discussion. I removed all the links from my links page on my website after Christchurch. I just thought, well, I honestly don't know who to trust anymore in this movement. I don't know how many people are out there that are actually going to speak the truth with no stake in the outcome. You know, a lot of people seem to view this as some sort of a popularity contest, and it's not. It's about the truth. It's, you know, we're in a very, very precarious situation as a species. We really are. You know, this world is run by criminals, and it's not a joke. And none of this that we've been doing, it's not because we want to be famous or we want to be viewed as gurus or anything like that. I mean, when I started doing this, I didn't even put my face out there. It took 4 years before anyone even knew what I looked like. It wasn't until someone filmed me in Slovenia. Because I thought, I don't even want people to know what I look like. It's not about me. You know, I don't want to be famous. If I wanted to be famous, I would have done that sort of stuff when I was a musician. You know, I had every chance of being famous when I was a young guitar player, and I always pulled away from it. Didn't want the fame. Would have liked the fortune, but didn't want the fame because I saw what it did to people. And even now, I mean, I'm just a guy living in a shed. I mean, this is a shed that I live in. It's a garage, you know. So, you know, I'm not anything special, and we shouldn't be doing this because we want to be perceived as anything special. So I've never monetized my account. I don't have any books for sale. I don't have, you know, I go to these talks and people say, oh, here's a table for your merchandise. And I don't have any merchandise. This isn't about selling merchandise. It's about creating a free world. We're in a very, very dangerous situation. We are. And if people start viewing this as a popularity contest and they're afraid to actually look at things, and they start looking at things with confirmation bias and start, you know, afraid to be wrong. There's so many people that are afraid to be wrong. So many people with Christchurch are afraid to admit that they called it wrong when they called hoax and CGI. You know, they called it wrong. It's as simple as that. You called it wrong, admit that, because if we get some focus on it, we can actually pull this system down. And if we don't, we're screwed, because it's all closing in around us right now off the back of this event. And it's so important. It really is. And it gets very, very frustrating to have to deal with the amount of trolling. I'm just one guy who does all this on my own. All the videos, all the website, I don't have any help. I don't have anybody doing it for me. You know, I work all day, every day, trying to make a better world. And I think that's what we need to do. You know, we could change the world in a day if people just got some focus. We really could. And it has been frustrating doing this for 11 years, trying to calmly and as politely and eloquently as I possibly can, you know, suggest that people just sort of wake up to themselves, because that's what's going to change things. And, yeah, I'm probably ranting and rambling a little bit here. So next question.
You've got a pretty special insight in my book, Max. Part of the reason why I invited you on today is because back in January, I was listening to one of your shows. And you called it, brother. You called it. You said straight up, I can feel something major is about to happen. And you repeated it a fair few times over about two or three shows, maybe January leading into February. And mate, within 3 or 4 weeks of you saying that, if that, the world has literally changed. I mean, we've had Christchurch straight after. We've had Assange. We've had this triggering of events here in Australia as well, where, mate, this shit is coming home to roost right on top of us with social crediting, CCTV recognition all across the country, the ABC officers being raided by the AFP, this warrant and the nature of the warrant. Mate, we are living in 1984 Orwellian territory now, and you called it, and I think that's incredible. You really do have somehow your finger on the pulse.
It's obvious, though. The thing is, it's obvious if people look around. I've been calling this for years, man. I mean, I run into people that see me now that knew me in high school and say, wow, everything you were telling us in high school that we didn't believe, this is where we are. How did you know? You know? And it's obvious. It's really obvious when you see it. I mean, if you understand what the goal is, which is complete technocracy, complete control of everything, in full spectrum dominance is what they're after, then you just see the pieces of the puzzle falling into place. And you see the media stories and how they play it and how the people just lap it up and go along with it. And then you see the little carrots and bones are left for the independent media. You see the infiltration of the independent media, how the narrative is controlled in the independent media as well. Yeah, it's been designed to make us look like a circus, you know, just a bunch of random, useless conspiracy theorists who cannot even agree on anything. And anybody who does agree, you know, if you question anything, I mean, you could tell me this whole story that went for an hour, and if I disagree with one sentence in it, you'll call me a government agent, you know what I mean, because I don't agree 100% with every single thing you say. So there's no discussion with anything anymore. This is what the independent media has become. You know, people get these ideas, they get these fixations, and they have a complete stake in the outcome because they've made the claim. This is, you know, and they don't want to step outside of that. They don't ever admit they're wrong. You know, it seems to be this incredible thing within human consciousness that nobody ever wants to admit that they were wrong. And yet we come here to make mistakes. That's what life is about. You don't learn anything if you don't make mistakes. And that's how you learn to nail a couple of boards together, by hitting your hand with hitting your thumb with a hammer a few times, pricking yourself with the nail a few times. You mess it up a few times. That's how you learn how to do it properly. But we think we can just come in and we can say, this is, and you're just going to have it right straight away. You can't make mistakes. And if you do make your mistake, you're a fool. You're just useless for the rest of your life. It's the worst thing you can possibly do is to be fooled or to get something wrong. This is this mentality we've got put in our heads, which means basically it's like we've been told to shun away from enlightenment. You know, any type of enlightenment, anything that may open us up to learning, oh no, we would have to admit that we didn't know that before then. And we can't admit that we didn't know that because then we may look like a fool. This is the mentality that we've got. It's kind of pushed into us through school and pushed into us through the social system. But no one wants to admit they're wrong. No one ever wants to admit anything that they're wrong, and they're not open to discuss anything. They get this tunnel vision in their head. You know, they've got access to certain information. They've formed a certain opinion. Other people have had access to other information. They've formed another opinion. And then they just go loggerheads with each other. There's no discussion. That's the problem. You know, people aren't open to learning anymore. They think they already know. You know, an interesting quote, but I think it was George Orwell, said that each generation considers itself to be more intelligent than the generation that came before it and wiser than the generation that comes after it. And that's every generation that does that. You know, so when you look at that, it sort of explains our situation a little bit, you know. No one's prepared to listen anymore. No one's prepared to admit they're wrong anymore. No one's prepared to make a mistake anymore, which means no one is really willing to learn anymore because they all think they know. You know, if they want to learn, they'll go read a self-help book or something by someone who resonates with them and usually supports their belief system and makes them feel good about themselves. And you're reading a self-help book. What is this about? I mean, a self-help book isn't self-help, it's help. You know, self-help is self-help. You don't read a self-help book to get self-help. That's not self-help, it's help. So, yeah, you know. Did any of that make sense?
Completely. Completely, more than you know. Max, you use the word technocracy. And really, when I look at what's going on right now in the thick of it, I'm seeing a brave new world, and I'm seeing the Soma as our smartphones. You know, you've warned us about the smartphones as well. And to be honest, the thing was, I was addicted to the thing. I couldn't imagine being away from it, even for a minute 3 years ago. Now I'm on the verge of just throwing the thing in the bin. I'm not going to continue having a smartphone. You know, your message is really becoming clear to me. That is the Soma, and that is part of the awakening.
How they're tracking everybody. Even with the social crediting system in Darwin, it's through smartphones. It's how they're doing it in China, but they're making it impossible not to have one. Like in China, you need a smartphone to buy things now. You've got to have a QR code on your phone, and you've got to be in the system. If you're a tourist, you go to China, if you're not in the system, you can't buy anything at the shops, apparently. This is what I was told by a guy who interviewed me the other day on Australian Patriot Radio. So I don't know, I'm just getting it from him, but that's what I've heard. So they're kind of making it impossible not to have one. But yeah, your smartphone, this is how they do everything. Your smartphone is like everyone carrying around their own ankle bracelet. They track everything you do. And they're soon going to be essential to operate in the system unless people stop using them now. So people need to stop using them. And I was saying as well, I mean, they're inculcating and indoctrinating children into this by when you go to school, you send your kids to school, like at 5 and 6 year old, when they're in the first couple of years of school, apparently they're giving these kids iPads and stuff now. So this is how they're learning on their iPad. This is fostering dopamine addiction in children. You give these devices to children and you completely separate them from their parents, because when they get home from school, their parents think, oh, gee, they're happy. I don't have to worry about them anymore. They're busy playing on their device. But you try taking that device off them, they will throw a tantrum. They will absolutely have withdrawal symptoms from you taking this device from them after a little while. So it's fostering dopamine addiction. This is why people are on their phones all the time. You know, they feel the need to pull them out and look at them all the time and just click something. They haven't got a message or anything. No one's calling them. There's nothing going on. They just need to look at the phone and do something on it, because every time they click an icon, it's a dopamine release. So this is an addiction. It's dopamine addiction. And when you give it to these kids, you know, you need to look at this. If your child is going to a school and they're giving these things to your kids while they're not even teenagers yet, then they're fostering dopamine addiction in children and they're working to break down the family unit. And this is child abuse. Doesn't matter whether your school says they have to do it. Doesn't matter whether it's been legislated that this is what the education system is now. If it has been legislated, this is what it is. You need to find that minister who put that legislation in place and get him out of office straight away and roll this back, because you don't want to be fostering dopamine addiction in children. This is completely destroying kids' minds, and it's breaking down the learning process completely. They're not really learning anything. They're learning how to click icons. That's all they're learning how to do. The computer's doing it all for them. This is completely detrimental, and it's so important that people look at this. But yeah, your smartphone is how they do it all. So if we stop using these things now and we reject the smart meters and we reject the 5G system, they can't roll any of this out. And we've got to understand that they're not doing it for communication. They're not doing it for protection. They're doing it because the world is run by criminals, and they're putting in a virtual fences around everybody, and they want to control what everybody's doing. And soon it'll be a welfare state. You know, the more and more automated it gets, soon you'll have a universal basic income, and it'll be on a card, and you'll only be able to spend it at certain stores, the way they're doing to people on the dole here now. Talking about bringing in a card that you can only spend at certain stores. You know, you get a certain amount of your money or something like that. I've had people freaking out telling me this is what they're going to do with Centrelink. So it'll end up like that with everybody. You'll have a card, it'll be a universal income, and you'll only be able to shop at certain places. You'll get fed certain things and led certain directions. A complete and utter control, blanket surveillance of everybody, all under the guise of keeping us safe. It's not at all. It's the politicians keeping themselves safe from us, which is what we've seen with these raids and the ABC offices here as well. And looking at this, I mean, even with the Julian Assange thing, I've been telling people, you know, the whole truth community has hung Julian Assange out to dry. Whatever you think of him, whether you think he's a plant, whether you think he's an agent, you're missing the point. It's about the legal system. It's about how this affects international law, how this affects human rights, how this affects whistleblowers, what they can do with the legislation, whether he's a player or whatever. It's how they're playing it, which is what is important. You know, if we make a noise about this and we stand up for this, then we make a stand and show that we respect truth more than we respect legislation. But we're not making that stand. So this paves the way for anybody to disappear, you, me, anybody. No one's going to care if we disappear. I mean, Julian Assange is disappearing. No one gives a damn about that. So why are they going to care about people like you or I? And you notice also with the raiding of the ABC officers, the information that they released regarding the surveillance state that they're rolling out was actually released back in 2018, like September 2018 or something like that. But it took until now before they raided the ABC's office, because they hadn't done the Julian Assange move before then. They had to set that precedent with Julian Assange, have all these international laws break down, all this whistleblower protection break down, and then it gives them the ability to go and arrest and go and raid the ABC offices. And on the warrant, it even says the Australian Federal Police have the ability to delete or change information on the ABC's computers. How is this protecting the law? How is this doing anything to serve the people? All they're doing is saying we can go in there, we can steal your computers, and we can delete shit so we can cover our tracks so you can't call us out. Because the whole place is run by criminals. That's the problem. You know, and the Australian people have been completely disarmed. We got no way of fighting back. Our soldiers, our police have been militarized. So the politicians in Australia now have a standing army. They have a standing army in the form of the police, who are now wearing Kevlar, all dressed like Batman, carrying automatic weapons. Now, you can't touch these guys. These guys could just arm it up and steroid it up. They've got armored vehicles. You've got the poor, defenseless little population here getting put under surveillance for our protection from these criminal scumbags masquerading as politicians in this whole government, which is completely invalid anyway. Ever since the Australia Act in 1986, they basically threw this country out to the wolves. You know, you could even take it back to 1921 when they changed their constitution. I mean, we've got to wake up. The people of Australia need to wake up and realize that this whole country has been led down the shit chute by these criminals masquerading as politicians, and they don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about anybody. They don't give a shit about anybody but themselves and the people they serve. And it's about time we wake up to that. We really do. You know, and we had our arms removed because of the Port Arthur massacre, and anybody who looks into that, we'll see that Martin Bryant is completely innocent in the Port Arthur massacre. Even the guns that were used were guns that were confiscated by Victorian police a year earlier. This whole thing was a setup. That's why Martin Bryant never went to trial, never confessed, never did any of that stuff. He didn't confess until they changed his lawyer and they got in this other lawyer who worked for the government and basically told him to confess. And this lawyer was convicted of whatever a couple of years later anyway. I mean, the whole thing was a scam. And we've been led down the garden path by these criminal scumbags masquerading as government. And the police don't care about us. They've just shown they don't care about us. And they're willing to step outside the law completely, do whatever they want to do, as they've just shown with what they've done with the ABC computers. You know, the people of Australia and the world media and everybody in the world should be outraged at what's happening in this country. We really should. And people need to stand up and call it, because if we don't, we're screwed. Simple as that.
What I found fascinating as well, Max, is the day that the AFP marched into the ABC offices was to the day, the 70th anniversary of the release of 1984, where the main character, Winston, worked for the Ministry of Truth, pretty much conducting exactly what that warrant was. Like, I mean, if that coincidence is crazy. You know, I really couldn't believe it.
It's an interesting thing. You know, a friend of mine, Benny Wills, pointed out to me, 1984, you know, we think, oh, gee, that's coming about now. But really, in 1984 was when it started. 1984 is when things really changed. A whole bunch of stuff happened around then, and we've been led into that. 1984 was the beginning of when all this started to come into play. So, yeah, I mean, and that's what we're seeing. And the Australian Federal Police, I mean, all I can say is, you know, no one ever wrote a song called Fuck the Fire Department, did they? And there's a reason.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
For Australian Federal Police, these guys don't support law. These guys have no integrity. They've just shown they have no integrity by what they've done to the ABC. They don't give a shit about, they don't give a shit about what's right. They don't give a shit about morals. They don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about this country. What they give a shit about is covering their own tracks. Absolutely disgusting and disgraceful. You know, the Australian Police, I mean, they've even lowered the induction IQ on the Australian Police. You've got the 104 IQ club now. These guys are blockheads and they don't care about the people. That's the unfortunate reality that we face. And if the people of Australia don't down tools, and, you know, we need mass strikes, mass protests, not even protests. We don't even need protests in the street. I just like to see everybody stay home and say, no, we're not going to do this. Screw your 5G towers. Screw your cell phones. We're going to have a mass burning of cell phones, a mass trashing of cell phones in the town square. You know, like, screw these people. We don't want your surveillance state. We don't want your 5G. What we want is honesty and integrity in government. And you guys just aren't delivering that. So get away and we'll put in someone who will do the right thing. You know, and by the way, while you're at it, why don't you release all these children you're keeping in jail in Villawood detention centres and all this sort of crap that you're doing? All this child abuse that you're carrying on with? Why don't you stop all the child abuse you're doing in schools? All the transgenderization of children, gender confusion that you're teaching as a subject at school now? You know, what the hell is this? You know, what the hell has this government become? What the hell has this system become? The people of Australia need to stand up and call it. Grow a backbone, people. You know, I'm living in Apothralia. What happened to this place? We were the Anzacs, for God's sake. You know, we went out there on the front line. We were the troops that you would not fuck with the Australians. Do not fuck with these people. These are staunch people. Look at us now. These coward, poor, quiet little people who just do what the government says. Poor little government who wants to protect us. Fuck you, ScoMo. Fuck the Australian Federal Police. Fuck this whole system. You know, I don't normally swear on air, but I'll tell you, folks, we're heading for a very bad place if we don't stand up and call it. And all we've got to do is stand in integrity. Remember who and what you are and stand up for yourselves, people. Grow a backbone. Stand up, call this system out for what it is. It's high time we did it. Sorry for swearing.
No. Go, Max. This is what we need. This really is what we need. I get so angry myself sometimes.
I've been calm and eloquent and politely asking people to wake up for 11 years on air now. You know, I really have. All I've got is flack from it. And, you know, we've got to do something. You know, and I'm not a violent, angry person. But, you know, if you look at this system and you're not angry in the face of what's coming on, well, I don't know. You must be made of ice or something. You must have rocks in your head. You must have a heart of stone. How can you look at this and not be angry, not be motivated to wanting to do something about it? You know, and I've been angry for years. If I wasn't angry, I wouldn't do the radio show. But I managed to channel that anger into quiet, you know, constructive, hopefully inspiring dialogue. And that's all I've ever tried to do is inspire people. Like I said, I don't want to be a guru. I'm not anybody special. I'm not any teacher or leader or anything these people label me as being. I'm just a guy in a shed who's got an opinion who doesn't mind sharing that opinion. I think it's an interesting perspective, and I think people should be able to share their perspectives. And if we did that, perhaps we'd get somewhere. If we could open these perspectives up for discussion and stop wanting to be right all the time. You know, but it's a joke, you know. The independent media was created, the truth movement was created with what I thought was a singular focus, which was freedom. Because that's what it should be. Because that's what all of this is about, is freedom. And anything else that gets in the way of that is just not acceptable. It doesn't matter if you think you're a guru. It doesn't matter if you want to sell books or you want to sell your DVDs or you think you're an authority on this or an authority on that. You know, you're an authority on nothing. You know, you're an authority on yourself. And, you know, we're not even learning about ourselves through this life. This is all I'm an authority on. This up here, I'm still figuring out. But this, I kind of know this bit. You know, that's about the only thing I'm an authority on. So don't think I'm an authority or anything. I'm just a guy in a shed who offers a perspective. But all this is about is freedom, and that's what it's always been about. And we need to get that focus, because if we don't, we're going to lose it. Because all we can do at the moment is fight amongst each other and argue over our different ideas and our different belief systems and what we think this is and what we think that is and where we think we're going and what that is and what this is. You know, we're not free. We're not free. And while people are arguing about it, all of this smart tech is rolling out. All these surveillance grids are coming online. You know, the smart city is coming online in Darwin. It's coming online in Perth. Social crediting is coming to a town near you. It's starting, folks. It's here. Let's get some focus, please.
We've heard throughout history the quotes about the price of freedom, in various, you know, times in history spoken by various nations. Do you think, Max, that the time for friendly discussion and stuff like that is coming to an end, where we really do need to start acting strongly?
Well, you know, the time for friendly discussion, you know, yeah, I mean, we need powerful discussion. It doesn't necessarily need to be friendly. I mean, we don't want anger. We don't want aggression. I mean, I can have these conversations with politicians. I can express my mind without wanting to hit them or anything, but I can ask them to explain themselves in front of the crowd, and they break down. They don't know what to do. It freaks the hell out of them when you do stuff like that. That's what we need, you know. And trying to have open discussion. I mean, open discussion in the truth movement stopped long ago. That's what I've been talking about. We haven't had any open discussion in the truth movement since probably 2015. You know, a huge wedge was driven into the truth movement in 2015 with the flat earth movement. Whether you believe the earth's flat or round or whatever, it's completely irrelevant. You know, according to my path through here, my path doesn't require the earth to be any particular shape. You know, I don't buy into any model. So, you know, but that sort of stuff, and the fact that, okay, well, now I believe this, and if you don't believe me, you must be the enemy. That created a huge, huge wedge in the movement. You know, and where nothing has been open to discussion anymore. I still get trolled and attacked by these people all the time for not buying into their belief systems, you know. So, you know, free discussion in the truth movement has stopped long ago. But we need to have open discussion about things in public now. People need to ask questions, go to council meetings. When the government is decreeing they're doing this, stand up and ask them why, who they think they are, you know, and why they think they can do this. Ask them to show cause why they shouldn't be held in abusive office for what they're doing. Because, you know, what they're doing is not even abuse of power. It's abuse of office. They're delegating themselves powers they have no right to have. That's using the office that you hold to give yourself powers that are not delegated to you by that office. That's abuse of office. That's the most serious crime a politician can commit. And that's what we have in this country, in all of our countries. That's what we have. You know, the world's run by criminals. So people have got to stand up and call it. Stand up and say no. Stand up and say no to this smart system. This whole 5G technology. And if you weren't using smartphones, you wouldn't be worried about fast Wi-Fi everywhere. You know, if it was really about fast connection, they could use optic fiber cable. They don't need to have Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi is just because people want their devices everywhere. So they're going to have their IoT and all this sort of stuff. People carry these devices everywhere they go. Now, you've got a phone at home. Use your phone at home. You've got a computer at home. Get on the virtual world when you're at home. When you're out in the real world, participate in the real world. Talk to people. Look them in the eye. Don't use your phone for all these devices and all these things. Don't use these automatic telling machines. Don't use the automatic checkouts at supermarkets. Pay with cash for things. Get back in touch with the real world, you know. That's how to change things, man. That's the stand we need to make. And, yeah, there needs to be a lot of discussion of this. And it needs to be done publicly in every single opportunity. People have got to start standing up for themselves and asking questions and saying no in the face of all this. We really do. People have got to do it. You know, they can't expect, you know, to come on and listen to the truth community or listen to the truth movement or whatever and just expect that, you know, the world's going to change because, you know, we've been saying things, you know. This is what I think sometimes, you know. People think, oh, gee, it's all good. I can listen to Max every Saturday morning and he's going to tell me when the world's changed. I'll get the newsletter eventually that the world's different now and it's safe to go outside, you know. It's crazy, you know. And people say, oh, what can I do? How can I make a difference? I'm only one person. Well, look at me. I'm just one person. Like I said, I'm just a guy in a shed. I don't have anything. I'm not selling anything. I don't have anything. Nothing. No stake in this at all. And look at the millions of people I've reached. Millions and millions of people I've reached. I get thousands of letters every week, so much I cannot keep up with my emails. Some of them, they pour their heart out to me and they want me to contact them and they give me their phone numbers and I lose the emails because I get so many more and I think, wow, who's that guy? I really wish I could call that person. I try to search the emails and I can't find them. And it's just crazy because I'm just one guy doing this. But, you know, like I said, millions of people I've reached. So why would anyone out there think that, hey, I can't do anything, I'm just a little person? Because there's no such thing as little people. We're all little people. The guys, ScoMo, all these guys, they're just little people too. They just wear fancy suits. You know, government isn't real. It's just an idea. It's just a fiction. You know, they're real. The suits are real. The buildings are real. But the government isn't. It's just an idea. It's just shit they wrote down on paper. You know, it doesn't mean anything, you know. So, you know, wake up to yourselves, people. Wake up to yourselves and bring about some change because, you know, the truth movement isn't going to do it for you. The gurus in the truth movement aren't gurus. We're just people attempting to point out the obvious to other people in the hope that they will one day maybe stand up for themselves because we need them to. You know, I need you to. I want to be free. I want to be able to just go and pick the flowers and roll around in the grass and enjoy time with the animals and go and live with the sloth and the monkeys and stuff. But I can't be free until you're free. That's the way it is, you know. So I need you to wake up to yourself because then I can be free. Everybody can be free. We could maybe reach incredible heights with human consciousness. You know, we're capable of so much stuff. And when I look at what we had in the past and what's been taken from us, you know, yeah, people have got to wake up before it's too late, brother. They've really got to wake up. And it gets harder and harder for me to come and even do the shows because I want to keep the message positive. But, you know, I've been pointing this out for years and it frustrates the living hell out of me that everything I point out happens the next week, like you say. And you know, I say, oh, look, this is what they're going to do. And bang, there it goes. You know, it just keeps happening. And, you know, how much do I have to point out what's happening and what's going to happen before people will listen to me when I tell them what the way out is? And it's just for simply to you to rediscover yourself and realize that all you're dealing with here is people. Just stand up for yourself and say no. Ask questions. You know, this person in this office, it doesn't matter if they're in an office. It doesn't matter if they're wearing a suit. It doesn't matter if they're wearing a uniform. They're just a person, just a man or a woman. Ask questions. You know, and rally the community around you to ask questions. Support people. So help people. Help everybody you can. I mean, that's all I do. I help everybody that I can to try to, you know, make this a better world. Try to do that and you'll make a difference. That's how we change things, you know. But if people aren't prepared to realize the power of themselves, where do we go? You know, where do we go from there? What's the point of any of this if people still think that they have to be saved by somebody? They're not prepared to stand up and simply save themselves, you know.
Do you think there's a link between apathy and earning money, you know, building it, protecting a career or all this stuff, you know, consumerism, the way that we live in this fiction?
Well, consumerism, I mean, the money, it's all designed to keep us in scarcity where we think that, yeah, it is important. If we think that if I collect more money and I buy more stuff, you know, I mean, sure, we want to get it. So we've got something there for the future when it all turns pear-shaped or whatever, but yeah, I mean, it's a tool. Money is a tool, a social construct which we use to measure our value, measure the value of others. You know, we judge people by the size of their front door and what they're wearing, whether they can afford the latest, you know, fashions or whatever. You know, it's crazy. I was saying to someone the other day, like I'm living in this shed here, and people say to me, well, you know, you're living in a shed. You've got no hot water. You know, you've got no kitchen or anything. I've got to go to We've got a barbecue setting outside and I can go and use the kitchen in the house and all this sort of stuff. But I was thinking about, you know, I've got a car that's a workable car. It's 15 years old, but it's a good car. It doesn't matter. You know, I've got a few guitars. I've got my old PA I use. I've got a computer. I've got a roof over my head that I've been told I can stay in for the rest of my life. I got a little toys. I got a telescope. I got a microscope. I've got a bunch of stuff that I've collected over the years. And there's nothing I want. There's nothing I want. If I had money, if I was to suddenly come into millions of dollars, I wouldn't know what to spend it on. There's nothing that I want to buy. And any money that I do get, you know, this is why I give to people and I do what I can. I'll build water towers for the native people in Peru, or I'll do what I can for people, you know, other things. I mean, I look after myself, sure. But you know, I do what I can to help people, and there's nothing that I want to do with any money. I said to someone the other day, you know, I've got a whole bunch of cryptos that people have given me. If one of them was to take off and I was to make like $40 million in crypto, I'm the perfect person to make that money, because I'd buy airtime on TV. I'd put billboards up everywhere because I don't want it. What am I going to do with $40 million? Like go and buy a Ferrari and some Versace shoes or something? And what the fuck for? You know, I'm still going to be who I am, and I don't want anything. There's nothing that I actually want to buy. So I don't want to buy land. I'm 60 years old. I'm 61 years old. What am I going to do, buy land and build a house? That shit, you know, that's stuff you do when you're a kid. And you can't own it anyway. Nobody owns their land in Australia. So, yeah, you know, it's an interesting sort of space I've created for myself that I just don't want for anything. You know, I don't have a lot, but I live in a state of abundance because I don't want a lot. There's not a lot I need. All I need is to be able to have meals and sleep and have a roof. And I can go to the shop. Like I said, I've got a car. I can do these things. I can play guitar if I want to. There's nothing I want. There's nothing I want to do. There's nothing that I need to spend any money on at all. So, yeah, maybe the universe will do that. Maybe something will happen and I'll be able to have airtime and just get on TV and say, "Hey world, wake the fuck up." That would be great, you know, but, you know, who knows, you know, maybe the universe will provide. It seems to. I mean, I realized long ago that it's a mirror. All of reality is a mirror. So, you know, you can go through this with no stake in the outcome. And if you give enough, and if you give unconditionally, the universe will guide you, will give you what you need to get through, as long as you don't want for a lot. I mean, you get through. It just works. And that's what I found. It's an emotional mirror. And when you give unconditionally, it just works. You know, I have this saying, if you throw yourself to the wind, you can ride it. You know, I've been doing that for years, and you know, it frustrates me that people can't see just how simple it is for them to change things. But again, you know, I can look at that as well and say, well, for me it's easy because I've always lived on the outside of society. I've never had any kind of real relationships. I mean, I was married for a little while and, you know, rah, 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 but I've always kind of been a bit of a free spirit. You know, I left school halfway through high school, or through the third year of high school. I said, this is fucked up, and left. I don't want any more of this stuff. So, you know, I've kind of lived on the outside of society as a musician my whole life. And to many people, my life would be completely meaningless. But to me, it's real easy to just see how this system works and to just float through life that way with no stake in the outcome. I mean, I'm 61 years old. I don't own anything. I've got no debt at all. So, you know, that's an interesting thing. A lot of people can't figure out how I did that, but it's just the way I've lived my life. But then I can look at that, and for me, it's easy to have this perspective because of the life that I've lived. But then I can see how there'd be someone who's got a house and a family, a mortgage and a job, and they're stuck in this circular thing, and they don't know how to get out of that. And I can see why they're stuck in it and why it's so hard for them to get out. It's very, very difficult for people to disconnect if you're stuck in that system, because that's what the system does. See, the reason I think I've been able to get through this is because I don't own anything. You know, like I own a car and a couple of guitars. I don't own any land or anything like that. Because when you buy land, it owns you. You don't own it. It owns you. The earth's been here for like, you know, 4.6 billion years. You're here for 50 or 60 or 100, whatever. Do the math. You don't own shit. The earth owns you. When you buy a piece of land, it owns you. You're stuck to that land. You can't go and do anything. You can't travel away. And that land will make you continue paying for it. You've got to keep working. You've got to keep doing stuff to maintain the upkeep on that land for rates and all that sort of stuff. If you don't, they'll come and take it from you. So what makes you think you own it to begin with? So basically, you put yourself in this position where you've got that roof and you've got that place of security, but then you're always in fear of losing it. So you're living your life in complete fear all the time that you may lose this sanctuary that you've created, because it's a fiction. It's not real. It's just this idea of what a sanctuary was. It was given to you by the system. It's all supported by this economic system. So you get caught into that. So I can understand why, when I tell people, you know, it's simply by changing your perspective, you can change the world. I can see why this concept is so completely alien to them, because they've grown up into that. And I never went into that. I kind of looked at that. You know, when I was 4 years old, when I was out in the forest, and my mother told me, we were out in the jungle, in the forest, first time I'd ever been to the forest, and I said, wow, let's come and live here. This is incredible. You know, there's trees and, you know, why are we down there in town? Let's come and live here. And Mum said, we can't live here. And I said, why not? There's nobody else living here. And she said, well, it's because we don't own the land. And I went, own the land? What do you mean own the land? She said, well, you've got to own the land. And I said, who owns the land? And she said, the government owns the land. And I said, how did they get it? And she said, you understand when you get older. And I'm going, and I was walking around. It was devastating to me. I couldn't figure it out. I was 4 years old and I was walking around the yard with my teddy bear, and I'm talking to my teddy bear and I'm saying, Teddy, it's all fucked up. These people think they can own the land. I've been born onto the wrong world. And I was asking my teddy, could you please tell God to tell God that he's put me onto the wrong world, because these people think they can own land. And can he take me off this world and please put me onto the right world that I'm supposed to be on, because it's not this world. And from that point, I looked at people and I just saw everybody's mad. I've been born into an insane asylum. There are all the stuff they're talking about. It doesn't mean anything. Nothing this thing means anything. They're talking about other people and all this useless stuff. No, nothing means anything. And people are saying things they don't even mean. You know, what is this place, you know? So it was crazy for me, you know. I just thought I was born into a madhouse. So I always kind of looked at it that way. And when I went to school, when I was 8 years old, I found out about the pyramids. And I thought, wow, you know. And I wanted to know how they built the pyramids. So I started, you know, looking into Egyptology and all that sort of stuff when I was eight. So by the time I got to high school, I was pretty well read as far as, you know, history and, you know, social studies and all that sort of stuff at school. And so I got into arguments with my teachers all the time. So I got kicked out of all these schools all the time. And then I realized, like in my third year of high school, I thought, I'm not learning anything in this place. This is a joke. This isn't education. This is indoctrination. You're trying to teach me to think within a certain box, not ask questions, and train me to be a little cog in the big machine. This is ridiculous. What am I doing here? I just got up and walked out halfway through my exams. And I became a musician and never looked back. So, that's how I did it. Weird thing, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of given me the perspective that I've had, because I've always been able to look at society from the outside and look into it, I guess. With no stake in the outcome. I don't want anything. Like I said, there's nothing I want. I mean, it isn't about the trappings of life. You know? And I had that for a while. I mean, I was a musician. I had all these guitars. I had a huge music collection, big stereo, all this stuff. And that was me. I was the music guy, you know, and that would be where I would retreat to as well. You know, I would, if I ever needed strength, I would go and I'd get it there. I'd sit there, and when I was listening to music, that's what I was doing. I wasn't doing anything. I was listening, you know, and that's what I would do. When I was playing, and, you know, and music was always my source of strength, but it was also a bubble that I lived in, you know. And then suddenly my music collection got stolen from me by my ex-wife. And I could see it there. She kept it. I left it with her when I went on tour, and she said, no, you gave it to me. Possession is 9/10 of the law. If you try to get it back, I'll put a restraining order. You might be able to see your son. And that was it. I almost had a complete breakdown, you know, because suddenly my source of strength had become my source of pain, and I had nowhere to go to get strength, which is what suddenly I just went straight back into my research, and I did that, you know, which put me onto the path that I'm on now, which is a whole other story. But, you know, when I look at that, it was a bubble. It was a source of strength, and it was also a bubble, but it also gave me the ability to live on the outside of society and to be able to make a living and get through while I was doing it. And the opportunity to research all this stuff and to get all the information that I needed now to do what I'm doing now. And then once I had all that information, the universe took everything away from me and just left me with this information and pushed me onto this path. I had no choice, really, but to start speaking about the stuff that I know, you know, and the stuff that I found out through the journey and sharing that with people and realizing that I've been hiding from that. I've been really hiding from my true path. Which is why my life had continued to implode and mess up. And I mean, my life was a train wreck until I was about 40. It really was. So don't think there's no hope for you folks. There really is. I mean, I've been in the most precarious situations you can imagine and down at the bottom of the tube, further than a lot of people have probably gone. So, it's been an interesting journey. But again, you know, like saying though, I can see, well, it's easy for me to say the things I say and see the way I see things, but it may be very difficult for other people who've been in that system who didn't see it as a madhouse the way I did when I was four. You know, I'm kind of really fortunate in that respect is that I never had any moment where I just suddenly realized, oh, my God, the world's crazy. You know, I already knew my whole life that it was crazy. So there wasn't any moment of major paradigm shift for me in my adult life, which is what there is for a lot of people. You know, even when they start to, they haven't even figured out that the government doesn't like them yet. When they figure out that, then they go 9/11 and all, they go, oh my freaking God. You know, I've had people that have watched my videos and gone, wow, I was in the Matrix before I saw your video and I just woke up at 45 years old and my whole life has fallen apart because of it. I think, well, shit, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to have someone's life fall apart, you know. But that happens for some people when they find out what's really going on here. And I'm fortunate in as much as my life fell apart when I was four, so I've had a lot of time to deal with it since then. And when I'm looking back on it, at 4 years old, it wasn't such a big deal. So, you know.
Wow, Max. You know, we've already gone over an hour. It's gone so quick. Unbelievably quick. It feels like 15 minutes. You know, I really appreciate you really sharing your heart with us. And this is actually, my 111th, live stream. So, 111, with Max Egan, sharing his special heart with everyone. Max, what's a final message that you can leave, the audience with in this, you know, dark hour that we're facing now?
Interesting. Yeah, kind of been a pretty full on show, hasn't it? You
know, yes. Kind of
forget I'm live streaming sometimes. But, look, just don't doubt yourself, folks. And don't think that there's someone coming to save you and don't think I can save you or anything. And even don't even believe what I say. I mean, just find yourself. Find yourself. And hey, you know, I might get things wrong sometimes. So you know, it's just a perspective, you know, and really it's all about attempting to inspire you to find yourself because I need you to find yourself. Your children need you to remember who you are, you know, and really that's what it is. It's a remembering, you know. Through all this, it's just simply mankind has forgotten who and what they are, you know, and we've forgotten how powerful we are, and we've forgotten that those people we perceive to be our rulers are just people like us. You know, it doesn't matter, like I said, about their title or their office or any of that sort of shit. It doesn't matter, you know. If we're going to have government at all, it needs to be there to serve the people, and it's certainly not doing that. And they're going to keep pushing until we push back, and once we push back, they'll stop. No, leave it for a while, then they'll start pushing you again. So we need to push back, and we need to push back now. We need to stand up and say no to this whole surveillance system, this whole smart grid, this whole 5G system. If you care about your children, you care about your future, you care about yourself, you care about your relationships, you care about anything, then you need to stand up for this. Now's the time. Our backs have been pushed to the wall, and it's all become very, very open here in Australia just how corrupt this government is. You know, just how they're using military-style surveillance technology illegally on their citizens. And we need to call it, folks. We need to call it. Don't think, oh, I got nothing to hide. Why do I need to be scared? Well, if they want to do this to you, you have reason to be scared, you know, because they're doing it to cover their own tracks. They want to know who's thinking about them, who's going to call them out. And if you really look at the history of the world, You know, look at Bolshevism and look at some of the mass exterminations that have happened in this world. And just think about, you know, where we're going. You know, we're always in this position where we think, well, it can't happen here. It can't happen to us. That's the way they always felt in all of those positions. They always felt that it couldn't happen to them. And really looking at Bolshevism, if you really want to look at the inordinate amounts of influence that the state of Israel has over the world, the people that are running the state of Israel now are Bolsheviks. So I suggest you look at Bolshevism and look at how little regard these people actually have for human life. And as I've said many times, you know, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world if we don't pay attention. So it's time for people to pay attention. And, you know, I only do this because I love you all, and I love humankind. I love people. I love my son, and I want to see a viable future for this world. So that's my whole motivation in the whole thing. So all you trolls out there, whatever, yeah, it's all good. I don't really care what you think. You can continue to troll me. But, you know, get motivated, folks. Get motivated for yourself and for your children, because no one else is going to do it for you. All we can do is share information, and hopefully that will motivate you into something. But, yeah, now's the time that we have to do it, because, you know, we've got a very, very short window to turn this around. If we don't turn this around by the end of this year, I say we're going to be pretty well screwed. So get motivated, folks. I can't do it for you. Neither can anybody else. It's got to be you. Thanks for having me on, brother.
Thanks for listening. We absolutely love you for the person that you are. Thanks for spending this hour and a quarter with us, and look forward to the next one. Thanks so much, mate.
Not a problem. Send me a link when it gets posted to YouTube, and I'll share it for you. I'm not used to this live streaming on Facebook. It's very strange. Very strange feeling for me.
I know this is not your favorite platform, and I appreciate you coming on it. It means a lot.
Oh, good, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Max. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And to the audience, thank you guys for sticking it out for the hour and 15 minutes. It's been a wonderful experience. I knew it would be. And until the next one, keep your head up and keep your heart strong. Bye for now.